Harper Perennial and Harper Audio present A Manual for How to Love Us. Stories by Aaron Slaughter. Performed by Aaron DeWard. For anyone trying to find their way home. Love is dangerous, as is the world. It isn't only loss. There's lots of weird malice loose on the planet. Gregory Orr. 1. Anywhere. Days or weeks ago, Zell arrived at my apartment door, her laughter hollow, her hair too short. She'd lost weight since I saw her last, her jaw all angles and edges. She walked right in like it hadn't been 5 years since we'd last spoken, and there was a warmth in being with her that made it feel like it couldn't have been, like we'd been shadows moving alongside each other all this time. She asked me how my day was. We ate white rice from plastic bowls. Then she offered me a new life like she was offering me a soda. And when a girl like that asks you to run away with her, you do. You take inventory of your little world, shuck off the pieces you won't miss, and betray the ones you will under the guise of adventure. I had no pets, no plants, no friends who would notice I was gone. My only furniture, a mattress, a fold-out chair, and a scratched table the last tenants left on the curb. Almost like I'd been keeping my life empty so it would be easier to discard when Zell showed up. You leave your cell phone on the kitchen counter and throw your clothes into a bag without bothering to fold them. In the car, you catch yourself really breathing for the first time in years, maybe. And it turns out, breathing feels magnificent, the glory dance of lungs. She asked me to run, so I ran. And I didn't ask where we were going or why, because it didn't matter. I was going with her. 4 days ago, our first day gone. Miles and miles of night. The darkness like a fleece blanket wrapped around us. Zell's features were lit only by the glow of the dashboard, making it harder to believe she was real and next to me, not the hologram or half-drawn vision I sometimes willed into my dreams as I lay alone in bed. Then, the febrile Nevada sun broke the spell, sizzling holes through the cool blue dawn, and she was there, solid, slack-jawed, alive. She wanted to run, so we ran, but first, she wanted to see the Grand Canyon, so we drove through the night from Carson City, past the neon rest stops and quiet drive-thrus, the overpasses, brick after concrete brick on the skyline. I drove while Zell slept, the side of her face smashed against the cool glass, her hand coiled around the seatbelt like an infant holding its mother's finger. We parked the car in the packed lot out front, and I bought our tickets at the visitor's desk while Zell went to pee. After milling around the gift shop towers of souvenir magnets, we got on a bus and rode through the stuffy morning toward the canyon. "I always thought you could drive right up to it," she said. "They make it look that way on TV." "Me too." The natural tone between us still half performed. "God, buses make me motion sick." She lifted her hair and fanned the back of her neck with her ticket, looking out the window. 10 minutes later, we stepped off the bus and gulped fresh air like we'd been drowning. Pale sunlight broke over red-painted ridges, the farthest peaks huddled close like tiny villages, a molten river slicing through the impossible bottom of it all. Zell's mascara began to melt from
Sample complete. Ready to continue?